Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 506. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is, well, who do we see there? But the one, the only, Jeremy Mays. What is happening, good sir?
Hey, what's up? How are you this week?
Just peachy, thank God.
Hey, wait. Peachy? Is that on the allowed eating list right now?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Peaches are on the allowed eating list.
Okay. I forgot to ask you about that. Like, so when you got your soft food, you couldn't eat Italian, so that kind of sucks. Were you allowed to eat, like, grapes and that? I mean, that's a pretty soft food.
No, because there might be seeds in it. Anything with a possible seed was a no-go.
Oh, shit.
So...
stupid. You choked on a piece of meat. I mean... So we were talking about this. I wasn't laughing too hard, but like saying it out loud now that I'm paying attention more because I'm not working for somebody else than for a company with no money. How long have you said this has been a problem? Because we've known each other a long time, and I don't remember this ever happening.
Within maybe the last couple of years. Yeah, but like I said, like, it's never, me choking on the food for, you know, multiple hours was not a problem until this calendar year.
Boy, you've been 40 for a while, so 15
minutes is one thing, you know, 12 hours is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I guess it would be. I mean,
you know,
in all seriousness, I forgot, Elise hits me up and goes, "Hey, have you talked to Kevin today?" And it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, "No," and I'm like, "Why?" Like immediately, "Oh shit, what happened?" And then she sends me a picture of you in a hospital bed. And I'm like, "What the fuck?" Like, no. So then she gave, I didn't know I didn't have Melissa's phone number. So Melissa was telling me what was going on. I'm like, "Oh," I was like, "Wait a minute." He had a piece of rib stuck in his mouth, or meat, whatever it was. I don't know if it was a rib or not.
Yeah, it was rib. It was very...
Yeah, you told me that.
I was so pissed. Those ribs are really good, which is why I didn't chew my damn food. I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to eat these ribs again.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, or ask as well. So, did you have to throw them out?
Yeah, ended up having to throw them out because I couldn't eat anything that was that I needed to chew. Or was spicy. Spicy was that off the list too. So yeah, it kind of sucked. No spicy food, no acidic food, no hard food. So yeah, ribs ended up getting the heave-ho. I will definitely go back to Barrel and Boar at some juncture. If you ever happen to visit, it could be on the list of places to go. Just because it's a mere couple of miles from the house, too.
All right. Well, that may happen sooner than you think. We may be making a journey up there in September.
Ah.
So, Dad wants to go to a game. They're gonna be playing Army, and I'm like, okay. So if we can't fly, I may do the old stopover, and then head on up to Ann Arbor.
That would break up the drive quite nicely.
Yeah, because, well, we're closer now, actually, to Ohio.
Yeah, so. It's an hour shorter.
Okay.
I believe is what, when we came down to Charlotte there, I believe it was an hour shorter. It might have been a little bit less just because we decided to do that pass-through on, where was that? Andy Griffith was filmed.
Oh, Mayberry?
Mayberry, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we swung there for like some wine and some other stuff.
You stopped overnight, right?
Stayed down at Wake Forest actually.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
The night before, because we found a nice bed and breakfast there.
Okay. Yeah,
and I had a couple of breweries beverages while we were at Wake Forest, because you know. Drink for the locals, no matter where you are.
Did plenty of that this weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, we got nothing to do. We got a we gotta be responsible. We gotta get stuff done first. We can get stuff done around the house. And, you know, we're going on vacation. Okay. Hey, Lonnie Boy's closing because we're the only ones here. It's like, wait, what? It's 11:30 at night already. So, one of those weekends. So, yeah. Anyways. Yeah, I.
All of this to.
I mean, I'm obviously glad, happy. You're, I'm glad, you know, happy that you're fine. But it was like, what the hell.
Yeah, so. it's the stupidest shit. Like it's like one of those embarrassing things. It's like, motherfucker, just chew your food. That's all you need to do.
Like, okay, so on like the stupidest things kind of deal. So driving to get a sandwich today, and like a red truck is next to me, and then I pull up ahead of him, and then he's not, and then there's a red car next to me, and all I hear is a truck barreling down the right lane. And I'm going, wait, what? And no brakes, nothing. I mean, it just keeps coming. It keeps coming. And I'm going, am I going to be in one of those like sci-fi movies where the robots like throwing cars left and right? And then I start thinking, oh, and it turns out the truck was actually in the turn lane, which I didn't realize it was the turn lane. So it was you know, it was fun, but it was just weird. And I just thought, like, what a dumb way to go. Get run over by, like, some fucking dumb truck. Like, not even a cool one, or, like, some guy running from a crime or something. Nah, just sitting there.
Because what, my one ex-coworker almost got run over by, farm equipment on a major highway. It was coming down the hill, and it, like, literally stopped on his bumper. Like, it didn't... Because I think it did some damage, but, like, it didn't do much, you know, all things considered. Except, I'm trying to think if it was a combine or just a large tractor. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but, you know, it did not stop in time, and crushed part of his bumper.
And people, things are gigantic.
Oh yeah,
like combine like that, and any of those, the farm equipment. But you know, like around here, they're building, there's stuff left and right. And I always wonder, so like the clear field of all these trees, you know, they cut them down obviously, but some get uprooted. They cut the roots off and leave these giant stumps, right?
Yeah.
So, I always thought they just pulled the stumps and put them in a, what's it called? Like a dump truck, and it took them somewhere else. You know, they actually just have a machine that picks them up, and it has, like, a giant grinder on top?
Oh. Well, yeah, that's an option.
Yeah. No, that's all this truck was. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. They cleared that entire field in, like, a day. It never occurred to me, like, oh, it was almost kind of like a funnel. They just, it was this machine had the funnel on top, and as you, say, the, you know, whatever, backhoe, whatever, would just dump this giant stumps and stuff into it, it would grind it up so fine, it'd just be like dirt.
Damn, man.
I don't know. So, I thought it was cool. So, anyway, it was probably not as cool, I mean, cooler in my head, I guess, but didn't expect that, so. You know, speaking of stuff that's not cool, I guess we should talk some wrestling. This is what this show does now, but man, if we would have done this show yesterday, it would have just been me an hour and a half ranting about how shitty WWE is now. I mean, I was actually talking to Chris for a little bit off, like, on Facebook, whatever, and I go, hey, are you watching Raw? And he goes, no, I gave up on it. I said, I'll just watch it after it's done. I was like, probably not a bad thing, and I just didn't want to warn you at all, because...
I was watching the Blue Jackets game kind of first and foremost, and then I was kind of flipping back to Raw, and, like, I just saw, like, it wasn't even just Chris, like, I barely scrolled down my timeline and saw about a half dozen people just going, oh, man, fuck this show. I'm just like, wow, oh, righty then. I am really going to look forward to doing this review, and I'll just let it come to me.
It was, all right, so they have record low ratings, which was pretty surprising. And then, so what do? Like, to respond to get make it better? The exact same shit, but longer. I mean, that opening segment was actually 5 minutes longer with, like, well, I'm sorry, the opening talking segment was 5 minutes longer than normal. And it's like, is this really what you they think is going to do the trick? Now listen, you don't have to like Roman Reigns or any of that stuff. It's not his fault.
Oh.
I mean, they bring Roman Reigns out, like, oh, here he is to save the day. Like, well, no, wait a minute. I mean, I don't know, man. It's the exact same thing every week. And then this week, they decided, now we're just going to make it longer. Which is people showing up just because they can show up, which, okay.
Yeah.
And that was a good part of the show.
I didn't really read into it, although I did see the headline that that was what Vince McMahon promised to some TV executives so that people could swap shows, supposedly. And with them kind of breaking brands, or breaking, you know, networks as far as their coverage, you know, It makes some sense, I guess, to try and keep the brand split alive. Like, I don't think it's going to solve any... It's not going to solve the problem. You know? That,
but then, see, I think that's one thing. Yes, yeah, not going to solve the problem. But two, I kind of understand the TV networks looking at this. Like, well, no. We bought SmackDown for the wrestlers you're putting on SmackDown. We don't want them promoting the Raw brand. Like, so Fox doesn't want these guys promoting a show, like, appearances or a show that's on a rival network. I mean, I kind of get that.
Right.
Did I make myself clear on that one?
Okay, I think so. Sure.
So, yeah, it's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, this isn't football, you know? Like...
Well, and even with football, you can change networks. You know, no matter who the team is, if you're on Monday night, you're on Monday night. You know, it's not like you have a choice to be on ESPN or NBC.
Well, no, the league kind of does that, but I mean,
yeah,
like with football, they will say, like, I've noticed lately now the networks kind of working along each other. I don't know if that's by design or not, or I'm sorry, if that was, like, mandated or not, but you'll see, like, sometimes they'll say, well, yeah, this game's on ESPN at this time, and then at 4 o'clock on Fox, it's this game this week. And it's like, oh, that's kind of different, because they never used to do that.
Yeah, I that's just kind of beneficial to me for everyone. That used to be a thing that, you know, you weren't allowed to do that. But there's some times where I just wouldn't find shit half the time if they didn't tell me about it. Because I'm kind of annoyed. Like, I used to go to the Yahoo app because they weren't owned by anyone. They used to say which networks the games were on. But I think when they updated recently, they took all that info off, and I'm like, ah, son of a bitch, it was so easy to find that info on your page. Like, why did you take that off? But I don't know if they have some deal now that they're not allowed to mention the networks or not. But
well, I also wonder if they don't do that now because they carry games on there.
Well, that too.
Yeah, which, I don't know, and I guess networks don't want to advertise stuff on somebody else's network, I guess, and I kind of get that. I mean, I for the NFL, I don't get that, because the people are going to find the games anyways.
Oh, you know,
the
right. Diehards
are going to find it anyways, and really,
with it still being the main...
Two games on Fox, one on CBS right now. You know?
Yeah, but, they're not hard to find either.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
when it's
no.
all major network, you know, even these days, it's still grouped together. So it makes it pretty easy to
yep.
one page click and you found
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I kind of had to laugh when I heard someone mention not being able to find NBC Sports. And I'm like, man, they've been on, like, both on WOW and now on DirecTV. It's like three stations away from ESPN. Like, it used to be hard to find, quote-unquote, but it's, like, for two different networks now, I've seen it, like, right in the other sports station.
Yeah, see, I've got mine set up by, what's it called? By name anyways, so all the stuff's, like, right next to each other.
Oh.
So, yeah, so it's like, all right, that's easy. Or at least in alphabetical order, so it makes it really easy to find. So... Yeah, but no, it's... I don't like when someone says, well, it's really hard to find something. They got a guide on the thing. What are you talking about?
Oh, well...
It's not hard at all.
There's that, too.
Yeah, it's just silly. But.
Yeah, the only problem that I have is that, honestly, when they do some of the alternative stations these days, I do like on DirecTV that they just have a sports stations... But they won't take into account if, you know, like NBC is showing something, you know. It's just kind of like your typical, like, actual sports stations.
Yeah.
You know, the ESPNs and the Foxes and all that other stuff.
Yeah. Well, see, even with all, like, the NFL's one I always go to. Although the NBA does, I've noticed, like, the few games I've watched... the season, at least, or have had on. TNT will say, like, hey, you know, coming up on Friday night, ESPN's carrying this, and then come back here Friday night as well, we have this, and Saturday we'll have this. Wait, baseball I don't think does that, because who the hell watches baseball most of the time now if it's not the end of the season? But I going back to the wrestling part, I don't see Fox and USA or NBC... playing nice about promoting two different shows. Because, you know, WWE's not the size of the NFL, you know? So, I don't know.
Well, yeah, like I said, I didn't really look at the, I didn't look at the article, but that's supposedly why they came up with the wild card thing, was to kind of get the networks on board. And I suppose I could, in some ways, well, I can see wanting to have kind of a bigger name, because you never know, like, and, well, this can kind of go to something else we were going to talk about, is, because you already said it, if we just would have done Raw, you just would have been bonkers, but I don't understand how SmackDown... It's not NXT different, but maybe it's just because they have that, like, hey, we only have 2 hours, we can't fuck around, and, like, for whatever reason, when they have 3 hours, they're like, oh, we have all this room to play in, and they, like, you know, just start... playing the cowbell all over the studio for whatever fucking reason.
Yes.
But SmackDown, just even like, there's the one thing tonight that it beat anything that happened on Raw, I'm pretty sure, which was Mustafa Ali's promo. Like, I love those things. Like, it's something that, because, and Chris and I kind of talked about this last week, something else we can talk about is the Bray Wyatt stuff that, like, to me, there's different good and then just different weird.
Yeah.
And different, I don't get why everyone's making a big deal out of it. which is kind of where I am with the Firefly Funhouse.
Like, see, man, I am loving that thing. And the reason being is it is different. It's weird. But it's also, there's a clear story being told every week. See, the first week where it's like, yeah, I've changed. And you're like, wait, what? You have, huh? And then week two, he introduces like the three different parts of his personality. You've got the buzzard. You've got Sister Abigail puppet. And then you've got the, rest in peace, the rabbit. I can't remember the name right now.
Ramblin' Rabbit.
That was it. And then, but all of the voices are his voice in some sort. So this is all him talking to himself. So to me, it feels like it's just his personality just split.
And now,
wherever he went.
I was going to say that I did enjoy this week's segment more.
Oh, very much.
I guess than the other ones. I was just like, okay, I don't know if maybe I'm acquiring a taste for this or that I just like this segment better. I did not think of it that deeply. And maybe I'm not giving their writers enough credit, which is possible.
I get the feeling he's got his hands on this, too. He's not a dumb guy. I mean, if you listen to interviews, he's not a dumb guy. And, I don't know, like, especially this week, it became clear. His voice is the voice of all the puppets. All of them. And the one, the buzzard destroying the rabbit was, you know, kind of more evil, if you wanted, of the three, obviously. And then you just got little Sister Abigail, who's got kind of got his voice, because they kind of tried to disguise it. And, like, the buzzard had his voice with a synth box over it.
Oh. Yeah, so, well, that was... I think this week's segment was one where I'm just like, I don't know if it hadn't dawned on me before, but it definitely was one of those ones that's just like, hold on a second, like, it really sounded like he was talking to himself.
Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, all the blank-faced kids at the end, because remember, Bray used to have those kids come out on stage.
Yeah, and so, that kind of cracked me up, too.
Yeah, all the kids, yeah, that made me laugh, which I don't know if it was supposed to, but it was pretty funny. So, yeah. But, no, I've always liked Bray Wyatt. I think they've just done that whole thing wrong with him. So, I mean, look, remember the reaction he got when he won the title at Elimination Chamber, what, 3 years ago now? Two? Only lose to Randy Orton that idiotic match at the Orlando WrestleMania.
Well, and that just kind of goes to the main problem in a lot of ways. Like, they've killed so many people's pushes at a point where they could have been bigger stars, but for...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if they would have been, you know, John Cena running the company for 15 years big or anything, but, you know, and Bray Wyatt's just another example.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean,
you know, like you just said, like, he could have been a bigger star, and maybe that's part of me that's subconsciously bumming me out, is just, you don't know how long this is going to last with the WWE.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Because there are just so many people that kind of talk out of both sides of their mouths when it comes to the WWE booking style.
Well, all right.
You know, it works until it doesn't. And, yeah, like, you get rewarded with good hard work, but then they're like, oh, yeah, that was such a shit gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just, even professionals that are going like, yeah, that was really terrible. And it's just like, well, then they're wrong then. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're never wrong. Cream always rises to the top. And it's just like, Man, there's only so much terrible booking that you can work your way through. And yes. that Randy Orton stuff just...
Proved positive. I mean, well, alright, so one, I know it's like old history, but one, that match should have been a triple threat with Luke Harper. Everyone knew that should have been a triple threat. Because he was hot as hell.
Oh.
And they just dumped him, and, you know, now he wants out, and they're just not using him just to spite him. So then Bray loses in that idiocy, and then loses again, and then that was kind of it. And it's like, he's clearly talented. I mean, they need to rein in his promos to make sense again, which would have, obviously.
Yeah. But,
I mean, to just let it fall by the wayside, I mean, them breaking up the Wyatt family was a mistake. The whole thing, they just... And the one thing that got me was what you said was, you know, it's not like he was going to be the next John Cena. He clearly wasn't. But, you know, King Kong Bundy wasn't the next Hulk Hogan. You know, Big John Studd wasn't the next Hulk Hogan. Earthquake, Typhoon, whatever. You always have to have somebody of equal footing around to make the main guy look good. And who... No. Right, so there's Seth Rollins right now as the champion on Raw. AJ Styles is the number one contender. Now, they're slowly building up everybody to be, like, on the level with Seth. But on SmackDown... Yeah, you got Kofi. I mean, I guess the Kevin Owens, but...
Oh, I'd definitely say Kevin Owens. They just kind of stuck him in a bad spot after he came back from injury.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But then also, it's like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of all over on this. Trying to get to like work. It's up to the writing staff, who I know has to go through Vince McMahon. So it's up to him to choose. Like, all right, this is what we're going to do with somebody. But listen, look at Raw. You had Ricochet lose to a repackaged Bobby Tool. Bobby Roode. I'm sorry, Robert Roode.
Robert Roode.
Was he back to Bobby Roode this week?
No, it was still Robert Roode.
Okay, and then, so what happens? He beats Ricochet unceremoniously, didn't even appear the next week, and then lost to Ricochet this week. Well, make up your mind. Are you going somewhere with Robert Roode, or are you going somewhere with Ricochet?
Well, I do think that was that 2 weeks, or did that actually play out over 3 weeks?
I don't believe he was on last week. I don't believe Robert Roode was on at all last week. If I remember this right. Okay, so let's put it this way. The fact that we can't remember, because he never had a follow-up about how he beat the hot up-and-coming Ricochet or anything. There was nothing to it. So just right there, like, okay. I mean, and I'm not saying push Robert Roode to the moon or anything, but...
It's just like, make up your mind. Like, I don't know why they had Ricochet, well, and Aleister Black win all those matches, and then just to have them, first singles match, you're taking the L. Huh?
Yes.
Like, really? Like, after you did all of that work to get him and Black to look that great, you decide to let him lose to repackaged Bobby Roode?
Yeah.
Robert Roode, you know, like, and then you, and you know what, it might have been 3 weeks, because then Ricochet gets named to the Money in the Bank match.
Yes, so it was 3 weeks, yes.
And that's why it was, like, Corey Graves is like, yeah, Robert Roode has something to bitch about. And it's just like, man, guys, come on. Like, this is a point that you need to just concede at this point. Like, there's no arguing this one.
Yeah.
But why is that a thing? Like, I don't even know why you kill Ricochet's momentum. But, I mean, it's just... I guess to kind of keep with something of a theme, like another one of those, why are you killing someone's momentum like this? Like,
you know,
you keep on saying you want to make stars, but then you keep on kind of killing their momentum. And it's not even like, we might have talked about it a little bit the last time around, but you can see where New Japan is going with someone. It might take years to get there, but there's this steady ascent, and, you know, they just kind of keep on going and going and going. Like, they just don't go, oh, well, fuck it, they're going to go on a losing streak now.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't fuck over their own talent, and it's just like... This shouldn't be a hard lesson to learn here, guys. Like, you know, and I think that's the problem, because that was something else I saw this week that kind of irritated me. It was someone talking about, oh, well, the WWE gave you everything that you want. Why are you bitching and why are people tuning out? And it's just
that garbage. Yeah, that kind of garbage, yes.
And it's just like, well, you got what you wanted, but that... Again, that doesn't take away the problem, the inherent problems. Like, because someone pointed out that, I guess until last night, Kofi Kingston hadn't won a singles match on TV yet this year, but he was WWE champion.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. So with the win over Daniel Bryan last night, he officially does have a win, but it's just... it's not surprising since he was in a tag team most of that time. But, you know, like, how did he not have a win sometime in that? You know, I mean, he had the gauntlet matches, but that's still, like, not a singles match. Like, that's kind of like one of those stacked odds, like, and I guess technically he lost a couple of those matches because he didn't make it through the gauntlet.
No, he never, that was the whole weird point, is he never, I mean, it sounds terrible, but
yeah,
he never,
I guess,
technically earned it. It was Big E and Xavier that earned him the shot.
I guess what I'm thinking is that he kind of had pinfalls during the matches, but he didn't win the match, but... That's a little bit of a technicality, I guess, if that's what someone's argument was, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more.
Well, that's also a gauntlet match isn't a singles match, if you think about it.
That is true.
So, but no, it's one. All right, so like Raw. All right, so on Raw, who would your top five guys be on Raw? Because there's always an odd man out. So it's never six. But if you had your choosing, who would be the top five?
I guess I'm trying to think of who's where now. Because it did just dawn on me that Finn Balor wasn't on SmackDown tonight.
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Okay, that's actually going to be one of my compliments for SmackDown. So what do you think of that? Raw was just... trash, just utter trash.
But Braun Strowman's got to be there, I guess. Yeah. The Miz has been technically shipped to... Hold on. Yeah, he moved to Raw.
Yeah.
Styles, now that he's over there, Rollins. And I know that Chris and I definitely talked about this one. The heels on Raw are... as much as I like Drew McIntyre, like, he's another guy where they just... At some point, they were behind him until they weren't. But they kind of present him like he's a big deal, but they still have him lose entirely too frequently. And they... have him lug around Baron Corbin and Bobby Lashley, who you know, Bobby Lashley, that's another one that it's just like, how did Impact get this guy right, and why is the WWE just not doing the same goddamn thing?
Well, that's an easy answer. They're trying to make Bobby Lashley something instead of just letting him be himself. I mean, that was obviously it's an extension of personality, but I mean, he was just the cocky guy in Impact, like looking down on everyone. It's like, you can't beat me because of your size, that sort of stuff. Yeah, he kind of stumbled and stammered here and there, but it worked. It felt real. There's nothing real about Bobby Lashley right now. And
Oh.
All right, so for my top five for Raw, obviously Seth, AJ, Braun, Drew McIntyre's up there. So I'll kind of disagree with you a little bit on him. They've clearly made him the top heel. He's the antagonist. He constantly says
Well.
how he's better than everybody else. He's constantly antagonizing everybody. And even he started bitching at Corbin last week, which was pretty cool. Because heels don't usually do that.
Right.
And then Joe would be my other one. I mean, you've got
Oh.
a pretty good five guys. Build every single one of them up. Have them lose for a while. I know Braun's kind of the weird one because, you know, he's pulling jetliners out of the air, but, you know, I don't know. It seems pretty easy. And everyone bags on the Attitude Era right now, which I find hilarious because everybody on that show had a character. Everybody on that show did something during the Attitude Era. Now, whether you liked it or not, it has nothing to do with it. But they were over with the crowd. Every one of them was. There was no silence in between matches. Even Kai-Tai
Well,
had a following after a while.
choppy,
So you can bag on the Attitude Era all you want, but at
choppy.
least everyone actually cared about the people, which cannot be said now. I mean, they destroyed the Royal Raiders as soon as they gave them a dumbass name. They still haven't recovered from that. But the main problem that was very evident today is that Raw doesn't let anyone talk. They have a talking segment, but
Oh.
you don't, outside of that, you know no dick about anybody. But on SmackDown this week, you got that nice promo with Ali. Balor wasn't on because he was in Ireland, but they still had him do at least some sort of promo. So you're like, oh, okay. You don't have to wrestle every week, but you got to be on. And I think that was a great way of doing it. And then we even had the Kevin Owens one, which, of course, you know, made it obvious he was going to interfere at the end. But,
Oh. Right.
yeah, but I mean, like, all the talking was done quickly and fine.
And everyone kind of had a different vibe. Because the Kevin Owens thing was was pretty hilarious, and what? He was just in his car or something like that. And yeah, the Mustafa Ali man on the street stuff. It gets me every time. I mean, and obviously he can't do that every week, but it's definitely something that it sets him apart from everyone else. And he
Well,
seems so goddamn genuine about the whole thing, too.
and that's one part of it. See, I think one part you're missing is that it was rough. He was turning away from the camera while he was talking, so the volume was going in and out. It was a rough cut. It wasn't this overly glossy horseshit we keep getting, like with the Ricochet sound. Holy God. It sounds like a Yosemite Sam soundbite or sound effect, excuse me.
Yeah,
Like,
I
really?
hate the although they haven't done it is since Aleister Black hasn't wrestled at all, but his the creaking of the crypt, like it went
You don't like
from
the
a
drawbridge sound?
Yeah, it went from a light creak in NXT to like the loudest goddamn thing on the main roster. It's just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I honestly don't recall one time ever hearing that thing creak in NXT. I do remember that ever happening. Not saying it didn't, I'm just saying I don't remember that, so.
Yeah,
But, yeah,
they.
it's.
But
you know me, I like stuff that's underproduced.
Oh.
And this overproduction bullshit, oh my god, enough. You want, like, all right, and I'm going to say it like this, yeah, I guess that's the way it is. You see those AEW promos. Like, that Dustin Rhodes and Cody Rhodes stuff has been great.
Oh.
And, like, those press conferences, whatever, it's kind of goofy. But, you know, they're touching into something that seems real, even though it's worked. Where WWE is, well, you know, we're entertainment. Here's an entertainment segment. It's drastically different, and that's why I kind of dug, you know, Balor just sending in a cell phone video, or the Ali thing. It's kind of grainy, because it was probably shot with a, you know, filter, whatever, but, excuse me. Sorry about that, guys, but,
yeah,
it didn't have, like, the fingerprints of McMahon going, no, gussy it up, or any of that stuff. I mean, the damn street lamp kept shining in your eyes.
No one gets to do anything like that. Even the stuff with Aleister Black, like, he's getting to establish some type of a character that...
Yes.
He really still didn't have, as much as I love NXT, like, their characters aren't very deep on there, usually, I should say. Like, there's some people, I mean, come on, I know that Johnny Gargano has been around there for 4 years, so it's kind of hard not to be deep when you've been somewhere for 4 years.
You know, all right, since we're on that subject real quick, you know who doesn't have a character? Everybody else in Undisputed Era.
Oh.
Adam Cole has all the personality, all the characters so far. Roderick Strong did for a while when they did those vignettes, you know, when he was fighting Bobby Roode for the NXT title.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know dick about O'Reilly, Riley and Fish.
Hey. Yeah.
Except Riley's hilarious, so.
Yeah, he gets a lot of his personality with his around-the-ring antics. Yeah. Like, him and Fish just try to get over by being the catchy background stuff. But you're right, though. Like, just in I guess I just think in general that NXT... Like, and I think that's why I mentioned on Twitter this past week that Velveteen Dream is probably the most realized character on that show ever. You know, because he really gets a lot of promos and a lot of promo time. And he comes up with some pretty creative stuff.
Yeah, he's obviously a fun one. I guess that Dominic Jacoby...
Dijakovic?
Whatever. El Snoro. I still don't see it, but he had that one promo, but I guess they cut most of it. About his parents being immigrants and all this stuff. I guess it went to like some weird place because they didn't play most of it. But, you know, that's like, Raw actually had the best Kofi interview in a long time. And it wasn't even an interview. It was just him giving a promo. He didn't need whatever one of the brunettes back there holding the microphone asking a dumbass question. It was just them talking. And,
yeah.
You know, if you've ever watched Up, Up, Down, Down, that's the Kofi everybody really likes. That obnoxious middle-aged man playing video games and just talking mad smack all over his friends. I mean, it's obnoxious sometimes. And he incorporated that into his character. And then even today, he was doing the same thing on SmackDown.
That's it. I definitely said that in the column last night. Like, that was probably one of the better things for him, just personally. Like, because he was still kind of background noise even within New Day.
Yep. Yeah.
And I mean, I know that right before WrestleMania, they let him do more talking, but... Yeah, that was probably the best part of Raw was Kofi just letting rip, and it was awesome.
Yeah. And I know it's going to sound, but whatever, but it's like, no one wrote that. He went out there and did it on his own. You know he did. You know he did the backstage one on his own. Someone might have been like, here's some bullet points. Okay, cool. I can do that. So it felt genuine. Like the Ali thing, even though it was, you know, it's produced, it felt genuine. The Balor one was like, whatever, you know, nice and small, felt genuine. And hell, even the Kevin Owens one, because we all know, like, you know, his character's such a dirtbag, felt genuine. And then you got Raw, where they have somehow managed to take their coolest tag team and make them fucking dorks. This bullshit with the Usos, and I say whatever you want about the Revival, yeah, it's pretty bad, but the main thing is they're hurting the Usos with this stuff. I mean, it's like, do you remember a long time ago they had the ass cream?
Oh.
Remember it was Jericho and Christian were a tag team? I think it was they were the team then. But they actually found Christian's ass cream?
Yeah.
That's the exact reaction I was hoping for. Because mine was way worse to this boost juice or whatever.
Yeah.
Thank God for Scott Dawson. Because he sold the shit out of that stuff. And you know he did it obnoxiously. Like, okay, you're going to try and embarrass me? I'm going to make this work better than you expected.
Yeah, that was one of those ones. They just went over the top. Both of them went over the top with their reaction. I'm just like, okie dokie.
Yeah, and you know what? But again, if you're going to be given dumb garbage like that, ham it up. Maybe they'll fire you.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
They're only doing this because they turned down their contract offer. So...
I mean, they're another one that I would say that they had something going on for themselves in NXT. And, you know, none of that has translated onto Raw, like, at all. Or, you know, even, like, they haven't even really gotten the basics there, like, and it was another thing that they in some ways did it with the Viking Raiders. Why are they at the championship level already? Like, I understand that they're badasses, but they haven't really beaten any of the established teams.
Yeah.
You know, like, they beat, like, what, one or two jobber teams, enhancement talent teams? And it's just like, have them beat the Lucha House Party, which that was still just the bizarrest of wins this week. Like, why did the Lucha House Party get a win over Enhancement Talent this week? Like, I like them, but huh? Like, they just kind of got bitched the last couple of weeks. Like, why are they getting a win right now?
Now, and then we also had the War Raiders, whatever, beat the tag team champions, and nothing was made of it. No vignettes, no nothing. And one thing I realized was, and this was a big thing, they didn't put a whole lot of videos on YouTube during the show. So they're clearly worried that the YouTube videos are taken away from the ratings, which is clearly not. Because, and this is the problem with the WWE right now. They try to use their social media, their YouTube, their Facebook, and all that to continue their storylines without telling you that's where the storylines continue. That's where the backstage interviews are, or that's where some of the vignettes are. They're on YouTube and Facebook. But for whatever reason, they don't tell you, so then they have to reference it on the show, and it's like, well, okay. But for 3 hours, don't you think you can budget your time better and have these vignettes on the show? You know, I mean, I guess they got their TV money, so they don't really care. But, for God's sake.
Yeah, it would seem to not be a hard ask, but it seems to be a hard ask. But I
Yeah,
mean, I guess they do at least say that they were, you know, and that's one of those things, just like, oh, they were beefing on Twitter, and it's just like, maybe they show something every now and again. But I don't know, would it be better if they did a voiceover reading, like if the people came in and did a voiceover reading of the tweets? Like to help present it differently on TV? Like, because I swear I've
no.
seen the Twitter stuff on TV before.
Well, they'll do like the little flash montage of all the different quotes or whatever. But like full-fledged interviews and that, no, I don't remember ever seeing that, to be honest.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the segments themselves, not just the tweets. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that, yeah. Yeah, I don't really seek it out. And it's just one of those things
No.
that, like you said, like it's a 3-hour show. Like, why didn't you get that across?
How about you cut down on the 25-minute opening segment or whatever stupid ass interview you're gonna have someone try and do, which didn't happen. Well, I guess one. Was it Charlie was chasing down Shane or
Oh,
something like that?
yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. But no, they push stuff onto their social media trying to earn money on that stuff. Like Facebook and YouTube, the two big ones. And the YouTube views have gone down as well. For a few weeks straight, the most popular thing was Bray's Funhouse.
Oh.
So we take that for what it is. It could be nothing, to be honest, but no, it. But all of these things I'm complaining about here didn't happen on SmackDown. Now, there were still people that didn't appear on SmackDown. Like, where are the tag team champions, by the way? The women's tag team champions?
Oh.
Were they on and I was in the shower?
No
Okay.
Iconics tonight.
Yeah. Did they even get mentioned?
No, they were too busy. And I mean, that was the one thing that kind of clouded SmackDown a little bit, was the whole wild card thing. But again, like when you only have 2 hours, something ends up getting cut, and you had to crown the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions, which took up plenty of time since the Uso. Well, I mean, Bryan and not so much Rowan got a promo, and then the Usos got a promo, and then we got a match. I mean, unfortunately, some stuff just gets. Yeah, I. Again, if Raw was run like SmackDown, there'd just be a third tacked on good hour. Like
No, it's.
I it just they have a different urgency on SmackDown to get shit together for whatever reason, instead of doing a 20-minute talking segment. Like, sure, they did an opening segment that was mostly talking, but it moved along much better than Raw.
It always does. That 3 hours, I mean, listen, we both saw Avengers. 3 hours doesn't have to be painful. You
Oh.
can have 3 hours go by like two, and then leave you wanting more. So, and it's obviously a money grab because it's something USA wanted, and they get money for the 3 hours. So that's something they want. But goddamn, budget your time better. I mean, hell, Avengers, spoilers, guys. It starts off quick. Like in their first 15, 20 minutes of that movie, you're like, wow, what just happened? And you're
Yeah,
watching it on Raw going, oh my God, are they still blathering on about nothing? Yeah, whatever. It's just a detriment. Like, they need to change it up. And they're not going
Oh,
to. So.
that was the other thing that did kind of crack me up, was Roman Reigns bringing that up after it being a dead subject for like 6 months or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's just like, again, don't bring this up if you're not going to act on it. And clearly by how you're booking this show, you are not really... other than bringing that weird, and it's the one change, and it's not a good change. Those hey, we're gonna let someone wait in the ring awkwardly long while we run. We're gonna bring them down to the ring during a segment, the end of a segment. Wait in the ring, commercial break, then interview slash backstage skit slash video package. And then they've got to wait for their opponent to come out.
Yes.
And then we'll start the next match. And it's just like, whew, yeah, okay, I was asking for change, but that was not what I... Something weird and awkward and not good is not what I had in mind.
Yeah.
But it continues to happen on Raw consistently. Like, that's something that happens on Raw, and it doesn't happen on SmackDown.
No. And the thing is, Raw's supposed to be the flagship show. So, in theory, if you follow that, SmackDown should be worse than Raw every week. And they even have, like, Road Dogg step down. And I know they fired another writer during Hall of Fame weekend, and they fired another one last night. So... I don't know. They brought in all these agents, you know, Abyss, Sanjay Dutt, Hurricane Helms, all these different people. They brought Bruce Pritchard back with little to no change. So the matches aren't any better. So, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
I don't know. The
matches to me is still one of those things where. Match quality is usually good. Like, that isn't a problem. But again, if you want a superstar, they need more personality than most people are being given.
Yes. I mean, why didn't we get to hear from Ryder and Hawkins after losing? Unless it's on YouTube, which kind of goes to my point, is all the stuff they're putting out there for free needs to be on TV. To build something. I mean, the tag champs lost. Let's hear from them.
And you mentioned the Iconics, but
yeah,
Ryder and Hawkins have been absent from TV basically since WrestleMania. Like, they got a backstage segment where it's just like, oh man, those fuck it, War Raiders look impressive. And that was like, really? You get Curt Hawkins acting like a coward? Like, this is what is supposed to pass as a good champion in your company? Like, again, like, I get that it's entertainment and you can have some people that are maybe not badasses be champion. But it works way better when they're heels if they're not going to be badasses.
Yes.
So that they have something to... you know, fall back on. But having two baby faces be chicken shits is just a recipe for disaster.
Well, it's... Yeah, yeah. It's clear that tag teams don't matter anyways, but still, it's... You gotta do something. But, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't see how they can look at Raw from Monday and be like, alright, cool, because they gained 80,000 viewers from last week. Well, if you're expecting Roman Reigns and all these guys are showing up to get you bigger ratings, oops. You know, at least not this week. Last week, yeah, whatever it would be. Now with this last set of shows.
And I mean, it's one of those things that it's not a solution that's going to happen overnight.
Yeah,
no matter what thing they come up with, like, again, they need to be consistent with someone or some, you know, and with how many people are on the roster, I would think that you could afford to be consistent with multiple people instead of giving them this herky-jerky bullshit that clearly isn't working.
The same even Steven booking, Ricochet loses for no reason and then beats beats Robert Roode
in fairly short order the next week or 2 weeks later.
Yeah. That's what I didn't mind the jobbers. I was like, that's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I'm good with enhancement talent. Like, yeah. That's one of those things that makes NXT work so well, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll bring in some non-PC guys. And yeah. Have that, yeah, yeah.
Really helps the product.
Yeah. It helps without burning through somebody that you don't want, that you need to build up. So, I mean, because after Rey, Joe has no one for that U.S. title. Like, offhand. Well, start building for the next, for the, that person to be next, but...
Yeah, well, luckily they have more baby faces to pick from than...
Yes.
Than heels.
Yeah.
Again, like, it's... Well, yeah. I guess I don't understand why McIntyre wasn't the choice instead of holding off on AJ Styles, Seth Rollins.
I was of the same mind, because I thought... I read that it was supposed to be McIntyre and Seth Rollins going forward for a while. But I guess that's out the window. So,
yeah.
I mean, I thought when they said that there was going to be a tag team match that they were going to bring out the Good Brothers. And stupidly me thinking, oh, if they're going to put the three of them back together, try and keep Gallows and Anderson from leaving. And it gives, you know, makes AJ kind of a heel. And Seth doesn't run in his pack anymore. But, nope. And then I thought Luke Harper was going to save Sami Zayn. Nope. So.
Oh.
Those who were supposed to work a program, I guess not now. So. Missed the boat on Luke Harper entirely. So, whatever. How long have we been going, by the way?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, I just looked at the time. I was like, whoa. Okay.
Oh, the usual. Right about now.
Oh, okay. I mean, we could keep going on and on, but it's like, it's just... I hope they take the lessons of... To wrap this little bow, I hope they take the lessons of the stuff I liked, at least. Like, hopefully they liked it too. And they're going to continue with that. And, you know, the guys don't have to wrestle every week, but at least have them appear. Hey, everybody, I'm still here. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Have good matches, short promos, that sort of thing. So.
Well, and that's Chris and I have talked about it some. I don't understand. Like, it really would have helped Brock Lesnar, especially, you know, as of late, to have either a Paul Heyman presence on TV some, or. To have him do, you know, a video package from home.
Mm-hmm.
Or a video package of him. I don't care. Show him in the gym. Like, I'm okay with that. Whatever, man. It's something. Keep him on TV. Like, I got it. He doesn't like to travel. He's paid not to travel. Good for him. All that fun stuff. But, you know, like you said, there needs to be some type of substance to his character, and
yeah,
and that just doesn't really do it.
You got a long while before SmackDown goes to Fox, and I would hope that they're actually looking. I hope that they, and by they I mean Vince, because everything goes through him, that he's taking a long hard look at what's going on and go, okay, I need to change, but I don't think he has it in him. Because one, I think his, I'm slowing down. His attention is split between this and the XFL. And yes, I know that Andrew Luck's dad is running the XFL, but do you really think Vince isn't all over him every day about it? So yeah. I think it's just a matter of too much, and he's not young enough to handle it anymore. You're much sharper mentally when you're younger.
Yeah.
Yep.
He can try to not sleep as much as he wants.
Yeah.
You definitely are going to sleep more when you're older. Just kind of happens. And B, like you said, yeah, I mean, he's just not young anymore.
No, he didn't even look it either. It's going to happen to all of us.
It's Stunt Granny 5062 is going to look pretty ugly.
Jesus Christ. Well, all right, let's wrap this up so I can actually get some sleep so I can't get to 5062.
Well, Bell Time Beer of the Night was Stunt Granny Brewing's own double team. Still down in the basement, still a few left. I believe at least a six-pack left, if not more. So I'm trying to get rid of that one, and I have not done a very good job of digging into the nutmeg stout that I made for Christmas. But there are some fermentation issues with that one. It just kind of bummed me out, but I don't want to throw it out either. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, hey, got to drink the homebrew sometime. And tonight was one of those nights. So I will leave that on the table. I believe I usually do the at DeFrango 11 at Granny Maze at Stunt Granny is the brand. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night. Question mark. Exclamation mark, period.
Am I supposed to say anything?